Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos is Nun Hey. We're starting at the bottom of Nundamid Beis, and we are picking up from the end of the Mishnah. A Mishnah on Nundamid Beis taught us that there are a number of items that an animal wears that an animal cannot go with Shabbos. Various concerns that we went over as we have gone through this fifth parak of Shabbos. The basic issue is that you have to make sure that your animal is resting on Shabbos, and you are responsible for your animal's rest on Shabbos. That's Shvisas Behemto, and that is really the guiding principle of this parak. But there are other considerations as well. If you're putting an item on an animal that is liable to fall off, so then there is a concern that you may pick it up and walk Dal Amos Brishos Rabin. Additional to that, there are also Maris Ayin considerations. So, for example, the bell that is worn by the cow. So that bell that's worn by the cow, even if it's plugged and even if it's not making noise, but it still give off the impression that you're going to the marketplace. Obviously, doing commercial activity on Shabbos is usur. And so therefore, when you're doing an activity that looks as if you are involved in Isuri Shabbos, even though you're not, so that is another consideration as well. So obviously, over here, there are a lot of moving parts to this parak in terms of what is generating a lot of these Isurim that are mentioned in our Mishnah. But nevertheless, we somehow navigated through the last number of blot of Gemara. The parak started back on an Alpha Medvez and is coming to a conclusion tomorrow. Also, additional to that, we had a lengthy discussion in the Gemara back on Nunbez about what happens if you are putting something on the animal, which is serving the animal, but is more than what the animal needs. And this is what we described as Shmir Yesera, Nitirusa Yesera. So really the Gemara started the discussion back in Anafa Medbeis. And when it's extra Shmir, is that considered okay? Is that acceptable? Is that considered a Masuri? And that was a major debate that took place over the beginning of the Perek. Relevant to that point is going to be the strap that's worn by the cow. They put a strap on the cow between its horns. And sometimes it was ornamental, sometimes it was for the purposes of Shmira. But even if it was for the purpose of Shmira, the cow doesn't need that much. The cow doesn't need to have the strap in order to walk it around. You just simply tell the cow to move in, and the cow moves, and it's really not that, it's not that necessary, it's not that required. And yet, it is debatable whether or not it can go on the cow. The Mishnah's position, however, is very clear, that a cow cannot go out, but Suah Shebein Karneha. With the strap between its horns, so the Mishnah says it cannot go out. And it could very well be that under certain circumstances it would be okay. That is where we just finished off yesterday, in the Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. But nevertheless, so the simple reading of the Mishnah is that it's not allowed. Let's stay right now with the simple reading of the Mishnah. It is not allowed. And then the Mishnah concluded with something that is obviously confounding. And that is that the cow that's owned by Rav Elazar ben Azariah, who, as we learned back in Brachos, is a Nasi of the Jewish people. So his cow went out, Ber Surah Bain Karnaham. So his cow had a strap between its horns, and Shalom Ber Son Chachamim, but the Chachamim did not approve. Now that obviously is very difficult to understand, and the Gemara immediately jumps into that topic. Paroso Shal Reb Elazar ben Azariah, Vechada Para Havile. Now, before we get to the main question, which is, of course, why would he engage in that behavior if the Chachamim didn't want him to? That obviously is the main issue, but the Gemara first opens up with a side issue, and that is, it is really difficult to imagine that Rav Elazar ben Azariah only had one cow. V'hamarav, v'amrilei, amar Rav Yehuda, amarav, treisa alfei igley, have ma'isa Rav Elazar ben Azariah me'edrei kol shasa v'shasa. You want an idea of how many cows he had? So 12,000 represented for him ma'isa behema. So that means 12,000 of his cows is 10% of his cows annual production of cows. And that obviously means that annually he was bringing in 120,000 calves. Okay, so it's clear that he had a lot. And why are we saying that? Why is the Mishnah sounding like he only has one cow? Now, it happens to be that the answer to this question is also going to answer the other question as well, which is, how do you engage in that behavior? Tana. And so we continue in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, I'll let you in on a braisa. Lo shalo haisa. The cow didn't belong to him. It wasn't his cow. El shal shchinasa haisa. It belonged to his neighbor. Umitoch shalo micha ba. And because he didn't reprimand his neighbor, nikre sal shmo. An opportunity to give tochacha to his neighbor. He did not give tochacha to his neighbor. So now the cow is attributed to him, even though he didn't own the cow. but he was responsible because here was an opportunity to give tochacha. That is the Gemara's answer, and we are going to launch into a really lengthy discussion regarding the mitzvah of tochacha, and it will be covering a good part of today's daf. Before we continue in the Gemara, just an issue which is discussed. Tosus discusses it multiple places throughout Shas. Here, Tosus discusses it on the Dalam and Beis, second to last Tosus on the Amud, and that is the following. Rabbi Natam already is bothered by this question. It's an old question amongst the Balei HaTosfos. I'll just paraphrase. I'm not going to read it inside, but basically Tosfos is bothered by as follows: where is Rav Elazar ben Azariah historically? So we know that he is somewhere at the border of Beit Sheni, but Churban Beit Sheni, but probably the vast majority of his life was post Churban Beit Sheni. So Tosfos points out that that we know in terms of the Nesius, in terms of the leadership of the Jewish people. So we had Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was a Nasi during the Churban Beit Sheni, and we also know that he existed after Churban Beit Sheni because he made a number of takanos post Churban Beit Sheni. We also know that the Nasi takes over after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Rabbi Gamliel. Now Rabbi Gamliel lasted for a number of years. We're not sure, but Tosfos says let's just say a couple, right? 3, 4, whatever the number you want to say, and then. After Rabbi Gamliel was then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as we go back to the Gemaras that we learned together back in Brachos. Okay, now with all that stated, what comes out now is that you have, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah living mostly and being the Nasi, well, certainly being Nasi, this part's clear. He was the Nasi after Churban Beit Sheni. But in terms of when did he live, during Beit Sheni, it's obviously a really small window of time, because we also know that Rav Elazar ben Azariah took over as being the Nasi at 18 years of age. Okay. So, here's the problem, says Tosfos, and that is that we learned together that Meiser Behema was not separated after Churban Beit Sheni, and it makes a lot of sense, because every Meiser Behema that's going to be separated needs to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash as a Karban. And obviously, if you count every tenth animal and you separate it, so that's another animal that needs to go on the Beis HaMikdash and can't go on the Beis HaMikdash, and you have to wait till it gets a blemish, etc., etc. And there are ways, there are mechanisms in which you don't have to count the Meiser Behema. But anyway, after Beit Sheni, so the counting of Meiser Behema comes to an end. And so our Gemara over here is going to be very challenging, because our Gemara says that he took off Meiser Behema. And when did he take it off? Because his adult life was after Beit Sheni. And at that point in time, no Meiser Behema was taken off. This is Rabbi Natan's question. It's a tough question. Tosfos over here goes through three different answers in terms of what are the possibilities, how could he have taken it off? And one answer says Tosfos, and again, I'm just paraphrasing everything. You could see the Tosfos inside. Number one, the Gzera did not occur immediately after Churban Beit Sheni. Maybe the Gzera took place sometime later. That's one possibility. Second, so therefore, he did have some time in his life to be Mafresh Meiser Behema. A second answer is that it was some sort of trustee, executor of his house, who took off the Meiser Behema, but it was during his childhood, which, by the way, parenthetically means that he inherited a good portion of his money, if that's in fact so. A third answer of Tosfos is that the word Meiser Behema does not mean Meiser Behema in the classic halachic sense. It just simply means we're talking about a taxation, and we're talking about how much taxes he paid. So, generally speaking, if you're paying more taxes, it means you earn more money. Okay, good. Those are the three possibilities in terms of how he's being mafresh Meiser Behema. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. We are now in the Gemara, and we're starting about six lines from the bottom of Nedalim and Beis, and here we go. A long discussion within the mitzvah of Tochacha, and the reason why it comes up over here is because we just learned that Rav Elazar ben Azariah was in failure of not giving rebuke to his neighbor, and so it prompts the Gemara to get engaged into this discussion. Rav, v'Rabbi Chanina, v'Rabbi Yochanan, v'Rabbi Chaviva, Masnu. So these four Amoraim were together, and they taught the following, and then the Gemara says parenthetically, B'kulut Seder Moed. Anytime you're learning Seder Moed, and here we are in Seder Moed. This is the first Masechta of Seder Moed, 12 Masechtas in total. And through the entirety of Seder Moed, and what happens to be that this is only going to come up three times, but throughout Seder Moed, whenever you see this grouping, Kol Ki Aizuka, Chalufi Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ayle Rabbi Yonasan. Take out Rabbi Yochanan, replace Rabbi Yonasan, fine. So the Gemara just simply is editing itself. Kol Misha Efshar Limchos Anche Beso, V'lo Micha Nitfas Al Anche Beso. Someone who has an opportunity to reprimand his family, his household, and does not do so, will be punished on account of his family. And then we're just going to simply broaden out this idea. Banche Iro, Nitfas Al Anche Iro. If he has an opportunity to reprimand his city and does not do so, so he's going to be punished for his city. And V'chola Olam Kulo, Nitfas Al Olam Kulo. And if he has the ability to give tokacha to the entire world, to the entire Jewish world, and he does not do so, so then he's going to be punished for that as well. Amra Papa Vahani Debe Reish Galusa Nitfasu Al Kulei Alma. The members of the Reish Galusa were punished for the entire world. Ki Had Amra Chanina Mai Dechsiv. The pasuk in Yeshayahu speaks to this idea. Hashem Mishba Yavo Im Ziknei Imo V'Sarav. Kadosh Baruch Hu judges the Zikanim and the leadership. Im Sarav Chatu, Zikanim Achatu. Now, if the leadership sins, that's the Sarim, so the Zikanim as well. I mean, we're assuming the Zikanim are good, as we are now on the top of Nun Hamad Aleph. So, Ela Eima Al Zikanim Shalomichu B'Sarim. It's because the Zikanim had the opportunity to give Tochacha to the leadership. The Zikanim did not give Tochacha to the leadership, and therefore the Zikanim are going to be punished as well. Continuing now on the top of Nun Hamad Aleph. Rav Yehuda v'Yosef coming to Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda was watching Shmuel as he was sitting in judgment. A woman came, she was crying out, and Shmuel did not pay her regard. So Rav Yehuda is trying to process this. How does that work? How come you're not listening to her? She's crying out to you. And the Pasuk in Mishlei says that if you cover your ears from the cries of somebody who's poor, so you yourself, when it's time to cry and ask for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you yourself are not going to be answered. He's trying to understand what's going on. Amar Leh, so Shmuel responds to his Talmud, Rav Yehuda Shinana. And this is a term that Shmuel always uses in describing his Talmud, Rav Yehuda. Sharp one. Reishach Bikriri, Reisha de Reishach Bechamimi. So I'm in cold water, but my Rebbe is going to be in hot water. His Rebbe is a reference to Mar Ukva, as we'll see in just a moment. So when he says Reishcha, it means your Rebbe. It's a self-reference. It means he refers to himself. I'm in cold water, but my Rebbe, your Rebbe's Rebbe, is going to be in hot water. And Hayasiv Mar Ukva Av Beis Din. Now Mar Ukva at this point in time is the Av Beis Din. Dechsev Beis David Ko Amar Hashem Dinola Boker Mishpat Veisilu Gazul Miyaroshek Pente Seka Ish. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says that you have to judge and you have to make sure that you're judging fairly, and if there's any kind of exploitation, if anyone is taking advantage of other people, I'm just paraphrasing in terms of the explaining this pasuk. So then the fire will go out and consume, and it won't extinguish because of the bad ways. And so basically what Shmuel is doing is Shmuel is passing the buck. He's saying, look, Mar Ukva is really the Av Beis Din, and so it ultimately becomes his responsibility. Admittedly, it's a challenging Gemara, meaning even if Mar Ukva is a leader, and even if Shmuel felt uncomfortable in terms of reprimanding Mar Ukva, it is a difficult Gemara. But again, the point the Gemara is bringing over here is that when somebody has that ultimate responsibility, so he's ultimately the one that's going to have to answer. And it doesn't seem like Shmuel is deflecting everything. He does say that he's in water, just not in hot water, as the expression goes. But he himself recognizes that he's in trouble. And why didn't he listen to her? So we're only given a snippet of the story, and we don't have all the details of the story, so I caution all of us to reserve all of our judgment because we don't know the full story. Another story regarding tochacha. Rabbi Zera says to Rabbi Simon, you need to give tochacha to the members of the household of the Reish Galusa. So Rabbi Simon says, look, I know they're not going to accept my rebuke. Amalei afagav de lo mekablei lo chachinamar. Okay, they're not going to accept your rebuke. You rebuke them anyway. Gives out Mida Tova, he gives out a good measure. And the only time after he's given out good measure, Mida Tova, the only time he retracts it is only because the person had the opportunity to give Tochacha and he didn't give Tochacha. And the Gemara now is going to go into a lengthy proof to show that when a person doesn't give Tochacha, he was an opportunity, he had an opportunity to do so, and he doesn't do so. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if he already issued Mida Tova, he will retract it for the person who doesn't give Tochacha. It's a really important Tosus over here on the top of Nun Hamad Aleph. Tosus points out that, just for a moment, let's think about Rabbi Simon's response. He said, they're not going to accept it. So, and the Rabbi Zera says, you should be giving it anyway. So Tosus points out over here on the very top of the Amud, Hainu Hecha the Suffik Imikable. There has to be at least some sort of doubt in terms of whether he will or will not accept it. Kedamra Besamach Lefnei Migaloi. Let's say that there is a person who is doing something that needs rebuke, but you know, and it of course is a question of how you're going to know this, but the simple answer would be that you've tried it before, somebody else has tried it before, and he's flatly rejected it. But you know that he's not going to receive it, so Tosfos here quotes the Gemara in Beitza, and the Gemara in Beitza says, that if you know the person is going to reject your tochacha, so then better not to give the tochacha as well. So what Tosfos is really doing is he's balancing two gemaras. Our gemara over here says give tochacha even if you don't know what the result is going to be. But the gemara in Beitza says you should give tochacha, but only if he's going to listen. If you know he's not going to listen, so don't give it. So the balancing that Tosfos does is that our gemara is talking about where at least there's a suffix. There's a possibility. Then give the tochacha. But if you know that he's not going to accept it, so then don't give the tochacha, because then you're putting him in a position where he knows better and he's still not doing it. And that's a worse position to be in. Let's go through the Gemara's proof right now, where the Gemara is going to prove that by not giving tochacha, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to retract his Mida Tova. Dichsiv, we're back in the Gemara. Vayom Hashem Elav, Avor Besoch Ha'ir, Besoch Yerushalayim. Pasuk in Yecheskel, with the instruction that you're going to go through the city. Vehit vita tav amatchos hanashim. And what you're going to do is you're going to make a sign on all the foreheads of the people. Hananachim. Those who are sighing and those who are screaming. Over all that which is bad that's going inside. This is Yechezkel prophesizing over a future destruction. And now the Gemara is giving us an understanding of the Nevuah that Yechezkel is experiencing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Gabriel, you are going to put on the foreheads of all the tzaddikim the letter Tav, Shel Dio, and it's going to be made up of black ink. Shelo yishlutu b'malachei chavala, so that they will not be destroyed by the destructive angels. Very similar to Yitzias Mitzrayim, in terms of putting out a sign. V'amitzcham shel Rishayim Tav Shel Dam. And on the foreheads of the Rishayim, you're going to put the letter Tav, and it's going to be made up of blood. So that they will be destroyed. So the Midas Adin turns to Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, what's the difference between these people? What do you mean, what's the difference? The one's a group of Sadiqim, the others are a group of Rishayim. He says, well, wait one second. They had an opportunity to give Tochacha. They did not give Tochacha. Amar la galov yadu lefanai she'imichu b'hem lo yikablu mehem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, look, here's what I know. I know that even if these particular Rishayim would have received the Tochacha, they wouldn't have changed their ways. So, Amar lefanav, Ribbono shel Olam, im lefanecha galui, lahem migalui. Good, you knew that. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are omniscient. So, fine, so you know that information. They didn't know that information. So, and by the way, this is what Tosfos made reference to. Meaning, for them, it's a suffix, and they should be giving the tochacha. V'hainu dichtiv, and now, we're going to follow through, because we're going to see that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu issued protection to the tzaddikim, that's the Mida Tova, it will be retracted. How do I know that? So we're reading on in the Pesukim in Yechezkel. Zakein b'chor b'sula taf v'nashim te'ergu l'mashchit, v'al kol isha sher alav hatav, al tikshu u'mimikdashai te'chelu. So the pasuk says that elderly, young women, they're all going to be destroyed by the mashchit. and anyone who has a tuff, al tikshu, don't approach, and start with my mikdash. Uksiv vayichalu b'anashim hazikinim asher lifnei habayis. And now the pasuk goes on to describe that they started with the zikinim that were lifnei habayis. Now tini Rav Yosef al tikrei mikdashai el mikudashai, the people who are sanctified. Ela b'nei adam shekimus torah kula me'alaf ha'tuf. Now the instruction was not to attack people who kept the Torah from the letter El Aleph all the way to the letter Tav. Umiyad, and now immediately, v'inei shishan Hashem, v'ayim miderech shar elyon, asher mipina tzfona, v'ish kli mafatzav v'yadon. And so we're continuing now in this nevuah of Yechezkel. Six anashim, now we're going to learn in just a moment, they weren't anashim, they weren't people. But six were coming from the shar elyon, from the northern corner, and they had basically sledgehammers in their hand. V'shechad b'tocham lavush abadim. V'keses ha-sofer b'masnav. And there was another person who had some sort of slate, some sort of notepad, if you will. V'yavo v'yamdu etzel mizbech ha-nechoshes. And they start at the mizbech ha-nechoshes. Now, the Gemara asks a technical issue. Mizbech ha-nechoshes mihava. Now, there wasn't, at this point in time, a mizbech ha-nechoshes, meaning we are at the end of Bais Rishon. But still, at that point in time, there was no copper mizbeach. So Moshe took the copper mizbeach. Sorry. Shlomo HaMelech took the copper mizbeach and he put it in Geniza. And he built a mizbeach ha'adama. You can see Rashi over here. It goes through a little bit of detail. But anyway, it wasn't a copper mizbeach. Amalu Kosh Baruch Hu Yitzchilu Mimakum Sh'omrim Shira. Start from the place where they're doing Shira. The word Nechoshes over here is a reference. It's describing... it's describing the people who are playing the instrument, otherwise known as the Levium. So that's the Hizchil Mamakum Sharmim Shir Lefanai. That's the Mizbech HaNechoshes, the people who are playing the copper instruments. Umay Ninu Shisha Anashim. Now these six who were doing the destruction. So who were they? So Amrav Chista, Ketzef, Af, Vechema, Umashkis, Umishaber, Umichale. So these are the names of various Malachi Chavala. Angelic destroyers. And so, what we saw from this entire episode over here is that even though Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed to make a distinction, differentiation between the Tzaddikim and the Rishayim, but ultimately when the Malachi Chavala come out, they're starting at the Mizbeach, they're hitting the Levim who are singing Shira, and you can only imagine that they were not the Rishayim, they were the Tzaddikim. So you see that everyone was destroyed, and the reason why, again, going back to the basic point of the Gemara, is because they had the opportunity to give tochacha, they didn't give tochacha, and so therefore they were held accountable as well. In terms of just a couple of follow-up questions of the Gemara, Mishna Tav, of the letters that were going to be inscripted on their foreheads, the letter Tav, the last letter of the Alphabet. So Amarav, Tav, Tiyu, Tav, Tamus. Sorry, Tav, Tichye, Tav, Tamus. So the letter Tav starts off the word Tichye, the ones who are going to live, and it also starts for the word Tamus as well. And so, again, for the Tzaddikim, it's going to be written in black ink, and the Rishayim is going to be written in blood. But again, it starts off the words living and dying. Shmuel Amar, Tama Zichus Avos. Shmuel's of the opinion that we have concluded Zichus Avos. There is no longer going to be any more Zichus Avos, which means that everyone is going to have to face the Malachi Chavala. There is a lengthy discussion, not so lengthy. There is a discussion within Tosfos over here regarding Zchus Avos, meaning the Gemara has clearly stated that there was a termination of Zchus Avos. Is there a full termination of Zchus Avos? Tosfos discusses maybe there's something called Bris Avos, which still continues and perpetuates, even though Zchus Avos is no longer there. See Tosfos for a discussion about that. Rav Yochanan Amar Tachon Zchus Avos. Rav Yochanan says that there's going to be Zchus Avos is going to show a little bit of favor. Reish Lakish Amar Tav Sof Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The letter Tav is the end of the Chosam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Damar Rabbi Chanina Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. The last word of Emes, the last letter of Emes is the Tav. And that's why that's the letter that's inscribed on the foreheads. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meeting out the Midah Sadin, which is, of course, the Midah of Emes. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Eile B'nei Adam, Shekimu Sator Kula Mi'alav Ha'Tav. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says the Tav is a description, a representation of the people who kept the Torah from the letter Aleph to the letter Tav. Me'emasai Tamas Chos Avos. Now, One of the interpretations that we just saw is that there was a conclusion of Schos Avos. When exactly did it end? And the Gemara is going to give numerous opinions in terms of when historically Schos Avos came to the end. Amar Rav Mimos Hoshea Ben Beri. So Rav pinpoints it at the period of Hoshea, one of Treasar. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Agales Nevlasa Leinema Aveha, the Ish Lo Yitzalenem Yadi. I'm going to reveal the inappropriate conduct. And Ish Lo Yitzalenem Yadi, and no man is able to save me, meaning that there's no longer going to be a Schos Avos. Shmuel Amar Mime Chazael. Shmuel pinpoints it historically at the time of Chazael, Shenemar Vechazael Melech Aram. So he was the king of Aran, Lachasi Sushal Koyime Yoachaz, and he was subjugating the Jewish people during the kingdom of Yehoachaz. And Uksiv, we have another pasuk, Vayechan Hashem Osam, Vayechamein, Vayefen Aleim, Laman, Briso, Isavraim, Yitzchak, Vyakov, Velo Ava, Ishchitam, Velo Ishlicham, Me'al Panav, Ad Ata. And what Akash Baruch Hu did is he gave protection because of the bris together with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then the end of the pasuk says, Ad Ata, and that continued until that day. And the implication is that, but it did not continue from that point going forward. Rav Yeshua Levi Amar, Miyamei Eliyahu, it goes to the days of Eliyahu, Shenemar Vayibalos, Amincha Vayigash, Eliyahu Anavi, Vayomar Hashem Elokei, Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael, Hayom, Yivadaki Atalokim Yisrael, Vani Avdecha Uvedivarcha, Asisi Eskol Advrim Ha'ela. So the key word to focus in that pasuk is Hayom Yivada. Today it will be known. Meaning he invoked the Schos Avos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yisrael. And meanwhile, it is only going to continue and only end at, it's only going to extend to this day. After this day, it's no longer going to extend. And Rav Yochanan Amar Mimei Chizkiyahu, and one other opinion, this is our fourth opinion in terms of when Schos Avos came to an end, and that is during the days of Chizkiyahu, Shenamar, Lamarbe Amisrael, L'Shalom Ein Keitz, Al Kisei David, Ba'amal Machto, L'Achino Sam, Ad Olam, Hashem. So describing the Malucha of Chizkiyahu, so the pasuk goes on to say that it's going to be prosperous and it's going to be established with judgment and staka. From this point going forward, Kinas Hashem. How is the Kadosh Baruch Hu going to act? He's going to act out of his vengeance and jealousy. But in other words, but no longer is he going to be acting using Schos Avos. That's the way Rashi understands the proof of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so a little bit of a tangent in the Gemara in terms of why specifically the letter Tav and the idea that there's no longer Schos Avos and when Schos Avos came to an end. But aside from that, though, the Gemara has now concluded its first major point of the Dav, and that is the idea that if a person is in a position to give Tochacha, so he needs to give tochacha, he needs to rebuke, he needs to correct. We are all responsible for one another. It seems to be, the Gemara doesn't say this, but it seems to be predicated on the idea of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. We're responsible for one another, and as a result of that, so if we see somebody else doing something wrong, we have to give tochacha. Plus, also, it's a pasuk in the Torah as well, Hocheach Tochias Amisecha. So we see that there's this idea of tochacha. When to give tochacha, so we only saw like a glimpse of that in terms of maybe he'll listen, maybe he won't. Tosha says if you know he won't listen, then you don't give tochacha. There are a number of other differentiations as well, but the Gemara was just here speaking about the significance, the importance of tochacha, and it's so important, so significant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even after he issued a good decree, will retract it in light of the fact that somebody does not give the proper tochacha. We're on the bottom of Nun Hei Amud Beis. We continue in the Gemara, new topic. Amar Rav Ami, Ein Misa Below Chet, Ein Yisurim Below Avon. Rav Ami has a following thesis. A person does not die unless he sins. And a person will not be getting suffering unless he sins. There are differences between Chet and Avon. You can see the bottom Tosfos for this discussion. But generally speaking, Chet is generally more of a shogeg. It's something which is a little more inadvertent. Obviously, it's still responsible. You're still liable. You needed to be more careful. You needed to be more educated. But an avon is more intentional. It's more rebellious in nature. Okay, but the idea is of Rav Ami is that a person only dies because he sins, and his death is going to be a result of his sins. And the only reason why a person is suffering is because there's avon. And if a person did not intentionally sin, he would not be suffering. That is the thesis of Rav Ami, and the Gemara wants to know if this thesis is defensible. And so the Gemara now sees to try to defend it. And we'll see exactly where the Gemara lands on this topic. It's a short topic in the Gemara, but obviously it's philosophically, hashkafically, it's really important. So, Dichsib. Now, he has a pasuk that supports this idea. The pasuk in Yecheskel says, "Hanefesh ha-chatas hi tamus," that the person who sins is a person who's going to die. Ben lo yisa b'avona av, av lo yisa b'avona ben. A son will not have to bear the sins of his father, and the father will not have to bear the sins of the son. Sitzkas ha-tzadik alav tiyeh, rishas ha-rasha alav tiyeh. The righteousness of somebody who is righteous, that's what he enjoys, and the rishas of somebody who is a rasha, so that is what he has to expect. That is a pasuk certainly seemingly supporting the thesis of Rav Ami. So the Gemara says, Ein serum below avon dechziv, and as far as suffering is concerned, so we have another pasuk that speaks to that idea, pasuk in Tehillim, Fakarati b'shevet pish'am, uvenega'im avonam. So the pasuk in Tehillim speaks to this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to visit somebody when he sins, and he's going to give him nega'im. Now nega'im literally translates as saras, but in the context of our Gemara, it just simply means that the person is going to be suffering if, in fact, he's a posheya. As we are now at the top of the Amud Beis, Meisvei, the Gemara challenges. Amar Malach Esharos Lepnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Imnei Ma'akanasta Misa Al Adam Arisha. So the following dialogue that we are privy to. The Malach Esharos turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, why did Adam deserve to be put to death? So Amar Lahem, we all could guess the answer. Amar Lahem, mitzvah kala tzivisi va'avar aleha. I gave him one commandment. He violated that one commandment. Amar Lahem, v'alo Moshe v'Aaron, shekimu kol ha-Torah kulo ha-Mesu. Okay. So that answer is good for Adam Arisha. And what about Moshe? What about Aaron? They were mekayim kol ha-Torah kula, and they died. Amar Lahem, mikra echa l'tzadik u'l'rasha l'tov. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response, based on the pasuk in Kohelet, obviously the Kohelet is a nevuah of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. So, right, it's not strange. He's quoting the pasuk from Kohelet. The pasuk in Kohelet says, "Mikra echel tzadik u'l'rasha latov," that there is one eventuality for the tzaddik and for the rasha, meaning everybody dies. Meaning once Kadosh Baruch Hu now put Adam Arishon to death, so everybody dies, and no longer is anyone's behavior going to affect the inevitability of death. Now, this brisa clearly is not supporting the thesis of Rav Ami. The brisa could not say it any clearer. And that is, a person dies even if he does not sin. So the Gemara says, "Hu da Amar ki Aitana." So we're going to try to defend Rav Ami, and we're going to say another brisa, and we're going to suggest that Rav Ami is following this other brisa. D'tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Af Moshe v'Aaron b'chata mesim. Moshe and Aaron died because they sinned. Shenemar yan Elohim mantam bi. So because you did not trust me, Parshas Chukas, and you did not make a Kiddush Hashem. So, and if you would have had a trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you would have, and you made a Kiddush Hashem, so you would still be living. Okay, so that's the, so this brisa certainly seems to support Rav Ami, in that the Moshe and Aaron died because they sinned. Unlike the brisa that we quote in the top of the Amud. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges, once again, based on the following brisa. Arba'a mesu bi'ityo shel nachash ve'elohim. Four people historically never sinned, right? This list is a famous list. It's a popular list. Here it is. Shabbos and Haman Bates. So four people never sinned, and they are, in the Gemara list, Binyamin ben Yaakov, and Amram Avi Moshe, Yishai Avi David, v'chilav ben David. Of the four personalities, it's fair to say that three of them have a certain amount of popularity, meaning I would venture a guess that we all know the first three. The fourth one, probably somebody we're not familiar with, although we met him back in Brachos. So the first one is Binyamin, the last of the sons of Yaakov. The second one is the father of Moshe Rabbeinu Amram. The third one is Yishai, the father of David HaMelech. And the fourth one, Kilav ben David. Now Kilav is one of David's sons. The sons that we do know are the ones that are given much more attention in Tanakh, right? In Sefer Shmuel. So we're introduced to Amnon and Avshalom and Adoniyahu and, of course, Shlomo HaMelech. So those are the ones that have more popularity. Kilav, we hear close to nothing about in the Navi. Then back in the Gemara in Brachos, so we pointed out that he was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. And over here, the Gemara is going even a step further. In other words, the Gemara is describing him as one of the four people historically who never sinned. Now, v'kula gemar levar miyishai avi David the mefarsh beikra. Now, as far as this idea that these four never sinned, so it's gemara. The gemara meaning it's the mesorah. It's a tradition that's passed down from generation to generation. So we know based on the mesorah, with notable exception to Yishai, where there the pasuk spells it out. And now the proof goes as follows: Dichsiv es amasa sam Avshalom tachas yawav hatzava. So when Avshalom was creating his rebellion, so he put Amasa as his general. The Amasa ben Ish ushmo Yisra Yisraeli. Now Amasa himself was the son of Yisra, Asher Baal Avigal bas Nachash Achos Tsruya Em Yoav. Now in terms of who he married Abigail, who was the daughter of Nachash, who was the sister of Tsruya, who was the mother of Yoav. Now all this would indicate that we're describing Abigail, who was the daughter of Yishai, who was the sister of David. And that's a little bit strange because the Pasuk in Shmuel describes her as being the Bas Nachash. Now, V'chi Bas Nachash, the Gemara asks exactly this question. What do you mean she's Bas Nachash? V'alo Bas Yishai, v'dichsi, v'achiyosam Tzruya v'Abigail. We know that the sisters of David HaMelech are Tzruya v'Abigail, which means that their father is Yishai. So what does that mean, Bas Nachash? Ela Bas Misha Meis Yoshal Nachash. It means that she was the daughter of somebody who died and only died because of the Nachash, meaning, but they didn't send on their own. Okay, now, this brisa that we just quoted, so what did it just teach us? Money. Who is the author of this brisa? Ilei Matan Demalach Yesharez. So is it authored by the brisa that we saw on the very top of the Amud? We're calling that brisa Malach Yesharez because those are the words that the brisa opened up with. So the Gemara says, Vayika Moshe Aaron. Now, according to brisa number one, so we know that brisa number one is of the opinion that Moshe and Aaron never sinned as well. So the list shouldn't be limited to four, it should be six. So obviously this brisa that we just learned together is not the same author as the top brisa. So El Alav Rav Shema Ben Elazar. So the author of this brisa is Rav Shema Ben Elazar. And that means to say now that we just learned together that these four died, and even though they didn't sin, and as a result of that, we have now totally disproved the thesis of Rav Ami, meaning this idea that people only die because they sin, people only suffer because they are poshea. So it's just simply, it's not a defensible position. And the Gemara has rejected this idea. Now it's interesting because the only thing we've really proven is death. But the Gemara seems to suggest that they go hand in hand. Once we've disproven that a person only dies because he sins, and the conclusion now is that a person can die even if he doesn't sin, so that also means that a person can suffer even if he did not intentionally sin. That is the Gemara's conclusion. And now we are up to our last topic of today's daf. And needless to say, as you will see as we go through the Gemara, this is going to be an interesting topic. This topic goes well into tomorrow's daf as well. And this is a much discussed piece of Gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan Kol HaOmer Reuven Chata, Eino Ela Toa. So the Gemara, it's going to be the same Baal Memra for all these Gemaras. It's always going to be Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani in the name of Yonasan. Anyone who says that Reuven sinned is making a mistake. Shenemar, because immediately after the incident with Reuven, the pasuk says, "Vayu bnei Yaakov shneimasar," that the children of Yaakov were 12, the sons of Yaakov were 12, and melamed shekulam shekulam ka'achas, they're all the same. They're all on the same level of tzidkus. And so we have obviously explaining to do because the pasuk does not describe Reuven's behavior as something which we would extol. Elamani mekayim vayishkav es bilah bilegesh aviv. So what are we going to do with the pasuk? The pasuk says that he slept with his father's concubine. He slept with Bilhah, and that obviously is it's an issur in the Torah, which the Gemara is going to explore in just a moment. And so to say now that he wasn't a chote, how could that be? So malamid shabilba matzo shel aviv amala alav kasuv ki'ilu shachav imam. So the Gemara gives an answer, and I know we all know this. Rashi brings us down on Chumash, and that is that he took the beds and he swapped the beds around, and we'll give the reason for his motivation in just a moment. But because he engaged in that behavior, which is a highly inappropriate behavior, even though it's not an isser per se, but still it's terribly immodest behavior. So when the Torah now is describing it, it's describing it in gross terms. Gross meaning, right? Imprecise. It's describing imprecise terms. And yes, it's certainly giving the impression that he did something which was a blatant violation of the Torah, but it's just simply an exaggerated way to describe what he did. He switched around the beds, and we could suggest that because of the heightened level of Reuven, so he shouldn't have engaged in that behavior, and that's why the Torah speaks about it in the harshest of terms. Tanya. And the Gemara is not done with this topic. The Gemara continues to discuss this topic at length. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer Mutzal Oso Tzadik Mi Oso Avim V'lo Ba Maisa Zeliyado. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar takes a very clear position in which Reuven was saved from this action. He did not do that action. And Esher Asid Zar Lamod Al Har Eva V'lomar. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says here, picture the following. Eventually his descendants, meaning the tribe of Reuven, are going to be standing on Har Eva. And they're going to be saying the words, Arur Shochevim Eshes Aviv. Accursed be anybody who sleeps with his father's wife. And so, imagine that Shevet Reuven are going to be making this declaration, and Har Grizim and Har Eval, and meanwhile, Vayavoche Zeliado, and Reuven was the one, their patriarch of their Shevet, is the one who is going to be involved in that very action that they are cursing. So it can't be. Elamani Mekai Mishkavis Belapi Lagish Aviv. So, Elbon Imo Tava. What he was doing was, he was looking to cover the embarrassment of his mother. So, Amar Imachos Imi Haisatzara Li Imi. Shivchas Achos Imi Tehetzara Li Imi. So, he says, here's what I cannot tolerate. The idea that my mother's sister is now going to be the co-wife and the preferred wife over that of my mother. So, that obviously is embarrassing. But it is even, it's immensely more embarrassing to have now the maidservant of Rachel, meaning this is post the, this is after the death of Rachel, and Yaakov moved, so to say, his main bed into the tent of Bilhah, and now she is going to surpass and take the number one slot over my mother. So that obviously was a tremendous embarrassment towards his mother, and what he wanted to do was try to save the embarrassment of his mother. So Amar Ubilbel Es Matzah. So that's when he switched around the beds. So this is all according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. We are now in a lengthy brisa describing what exactly Reuven did. And so according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he did not sleep with his his stepmother, let's call it his father's wife. He did not sleep with his father's wife. He just simply flipped around the beds, much like the position of Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani. But over here in this brisa, we're given a lengthier description in terms of what motivated him to do so. Acher Momim in the brisa, we're going to have a lot of opinions. Acher Momim Shtei Matzos Bilbel. Acher Shal Shechina v'Acher Shal Aviv. Actually, he switched around not one bed, but two beds. One bed belonging to the Shechina and the other bed belonging to his father. Now, the bed of the Shechina, it's a difficult concept to try and articulate, but the idea is that in each one of the tents, there were two beds that Yaakov set up. One for the Shechina and one for himself. And when he would make the decision in terms of which tent to go into on any particular night, so he would look towards the bed that was occupied by the Shechina. Again, I know it's a difficult concept and one that I could say, but I don't really fully understand. But anyway, that is the way Rashi described it. And behind the dichsev azchilat yitzue Allah, and in the brachos that Yaakov gives to Reuven, and for Reuven didn't receive much of a bracha, but it says over here, Azchilat Yitzuei Allah, in Parshas Mikates. And so from there we get the idea that that what Reuven flipped around was not just Yaakov's bed, but Yitzuei Allah, the bed of the Shechina. Kitzanai, the Gemara quotes another braisa, in which once again, here we go, with the various Tanaim, each one opining about what exactly happened. What did Reuven do? Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar. Now the starting point of this brisa is going to be, once again, we go to Parshas Mikates, and we look at the bracha, I put that in quotes, that Yaakov gives to Reuven. And the pasuk says that Yaakov says to Reuven, Pachas Kamayim. Now you are impetuous like water, Al Tosar, and therefore you are not going to be receiving anything extra. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and here's what we're going to do, we're going to take the word Pachas, and we're going to treat it like Notrikin. And each letter of the word Pachas represents a different word, speaking to a different idea. According to Rabbi Eliezer, here's how to read the word Pachas. The word Pachas is an acronym of Pazasa, you were very rash, Chavta, you were guilty. Zalta, you were disgraceful. And so it sounds like, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he's understanding the Pesukim Kipshuta, that Reuven did exactly what the Torah described. Rabbi Yoshua Amar Pasas Al Das, and Rabbi Yoshua now is also going to work with the Pei Ches Zion. So the Pei Pasas Al Das, you went against the law. Chatasa, you sinned. Zanisa, and you committed adultery. Okay, so, or not adultery, but illicit, sexually illicit behavior. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yeshua, same conclusion. What's the differences between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer? Hard for me to articulate. More than hard. I can't. I don't know. But anyway, that is but they're in agreement that the psukim are to be read kipshuto. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Gamliel says, Pilalta, you davened. Chalta, you made yourself sick. And Zarcha Tfilascha, and your tefillas were heard. And so that means that according to Rabbi Gamliel, so maybe there was a consideration, but he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him, spared him from the action. And so obviously Rabbi Gamliel is in the camp that you're not to read the Pesukim Kipshuta. Amar Rabbi Gamliel Adayin Tzrichim Anu Limod Ai. And Rabbi Gamliel says, look, all of our drushas are nice, but we really need the drush of Modai. This is an expression that we hear throughout the Gemara. When you see these Tanaim giving various drushas, so this is an expression that comes up. Right? We need Rav Lazar Modai. And the Gemara quotes, Rav Lazar Modai Omer, Hafoch es ha-teva v'darsha. He says the better way to darshan the word pachaz is going backwards, starting with the Zion. Zazta, you shook, here tata, you recoiled, and parcha chet mimcha, and you had the chet fly off of you. Again, speaking to this idea that, according to Rav Lazar Modai, he did not actually commit the avera of sleeping with his father's wife. Rava Amar Vamila Rav Yirmiya Ba'aba, Zacharta, you remembered. He's also going backwards. Zacharta, you remembered Onsho Shodavar, the punishment that comes as a result of that. Chalita Atmecha, Choli Gadol, and you made yourself sick over this, and Pirashta Melechto, and you separated from sinning. And so, what comes out from this Gemara over here is really a dispute in terms of how to read the Pesukim regarding Reuven, whether read the Pesukim Kipshuto or whether or not. The starting point of the whole discussion is Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani says that you are not to say that Reuven sinned, and that is not an approach that one should take. The Pesuk is not to be read in its literal sense. But on the other side, as we just saw, there are Tanaim who clearly debate this very issue. Next. The Gemara here gives us a mnemonic in terms of going over it. Curious that the Gemara's mnemonic is after we already went through Reuven. Generally speaking, the mnemonic is before we start, not after, not in the middle. Okay, and you could read the mnemonic Reuven b'nei Eli b'nei Ishmuel David Shlomo Yoash. We are right Yoshiyahu really. And so a sneak preview of coming attractions in terms of who is going to be discussed in terms of not sinning. So based on the list that we just went through, the next one's going to be b'nei Eli, and lo and behold, the next one is B'nai Eli. We're going to go through this next piece. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan, Kol Omer B'nai Eli Chatu, Einu Ela Toef. Anyone who says that the sons of Eli sinned are making a grave mistake, Shneamar, Visham Shnei B'nai Eli, Chafni U'Pinchas, the two sons of Eli, which are Chafni and Pinchas, Kohanim LaHashem, and they're Kohanim to God. Savra La, Kirav, Damarav, Pinchas Lo Chata. Now, here's how we're going to work it out. Here's how we're going to conclude. So Pinchas did not sin, Mekish Chafni LePinchas, and we're going to assume the same thing is true regarding Chafni and Pinchas. Man Pinchas lochata, Achafni lochata, and it's almost like a Gzereshava, like a Hekesh, in which one didn't sin, the other one didn't sin as well. Now Elamani Mekayim. So the Gemara says, okay. Now obviously, by coming to the defense saying they didn't sin, so obviously there is a pasuk that indicates that they did. So if you have familiarity with it, you already know what's coming up ahead. And this is the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Beginning of Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Al Perak Aleph. So we're introduced to Eli, we're introduced to his two sons. And the Pasuk says, and the Gemara quotes it right now, Asher Yishkavu Nesan Hashem. Women were coming and bringing their karbanos. And the Pasuk says is that Chafni and Pinchas slept with these women. Now this is Eishes Ish, meaning these are married women. And when they came to bring their karbanos, now why did they bring their karbanos? So they brought it because they were a Zava, or they were a Yoledes. And in a moment, we're going to see together that they wouldn't go home until they saw the carbon was brought. But that's I'm a little bit ahead of myself. So, and the pasuk says that they They slept with them. Now there is a Rashi over here. It's an interesting Rashi also, where Rashi says that really when we look at the behavior of Hophni and Pinchas, and you look in the Psukim, so there are really two things to critique. One, what we just described, which obviously is the serious isser of Eishes Ish. Also, they were mavazah b'kachim. They didn't treat the kachim with the proper respect, which is also an isser. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos describes that. So obviously that is an issue as well. Rashi says the latter is not even up for discussion, meaning they were mavazah kachim. That everyone agrees. The issue over here is, were they involved in the isser of Eishes Ish? And the simple reading of the Psukim is that they were involved in the isser of Eishes Ish. And so now, if we're starting off with the point that they didn't do exactly what the Pasuk described, and don't read the Pasuk literally, so like we did for Reuven, you have to do the same thing over here. Meaning, if we're not reading it literally, so how? What do you do with the Pasuk? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So the Gemara says, here's what they did. They delayed bringing the carbon. And Rashi over here gives a description. I'm just going to paraphrase the Rashi. The women would come to the Mishkan with their karbanos. Again, either they were a zavar, they were yoledes. And generally speaking, what you do is you drop off your karbanos, and you know the kohanim are going to be bringing it the day that you dropped off your karban. That idea is expressed numerous times throughout Seder Kachim, that the kohanim is rizim, and you could rest assured that if you dropped off their karbanos, they're going to offer it. However, the sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinchas, developed a reputation where they weren't that expedient. And when you dropped off your karbanos, they may not necessarily offer it the day you dropped it off. And so what it forced the women to do is it forced them to stay by the Mishkan in order to wait until the karban was actually brought. As a result of that, so these women were prevented from going home to their husbands. So the pasuk over there, even though it says their incriminating act in the most heinous of terms, that they slept with the women, but the way the Gemara is now understanding is that because of the actions of Hophni and Pinchas, they prevented the women from being with their husbands. That is a way to read it in defense of Hophni and Pinchas. Gufa Amar Pinchas Lochato Shenemar Ve'achia Ben Achitav Achi Ikavod Ben Pinchas Ben Eli Kohen Hashem. So, the Gemara now is going to support this reading, that you're not to read the Pesukim literally. The Pasuk describes Achia, sorry, I mispronounced it. Achia ben Achitov, Achi Ikavod ben Pinchas ben Eli Kohen Hashem. Now, Efshe Chata Baliado, V'akasu Miyachso. Now, generally speaking, we have this idea that in terms of your Yichus, you're only going to regard Yichus to people who are righteous individuals. And so going over Achia, who is the son of Achitov, the brother of Ikavod, the son of Pinchas, the son of Eli, so we see that he's part of the Yichus, so it must mean that he was a tzaddik. V'alo kvar nemar, and this idea that if you're not a tzaddik, you're not going to be part of the Yichus, so that we see from Malachi. The pasuk of Malachi says, Yachres Hashem l'isha sher yasena, erva ona me'ole Yaakov v'megish menchal Hashem tzvakos. The person will be cut off. Meaning he will simply not be part of the Yichus. When a person goes over his Yichus, he will be cut off if he behaves in inappropriate manners. So, im Yisrael hu lo ye lo er, b'chachamim, and that means to say as follows, if he's not a Kohen, if he's just a Yisrael, so he will not have a son as a Tamei Chacham. V'lo ona b'tamidim, right, the er meaning sharp, and ona over here meaning having the ability to respond. And if he's a Kohen, he won't have a son who's going to be offering a Karban Mincha. So again, we're working backwards over here. Since we see that the progeny of Pinchas was somebody who was a Kohen, who was offering Karbanos, and the Torah's Miyaches Pinchas, so that means he was a good person. So we see that Pinchas was not a Chote. So the Gemara says, the pasuk says Yishkavun. So the Gemara says, okay, the pasuk says Yishkavun, but Yishkavan, meaning that he didn't sleep with them, but again, like what we described, he prevented them from being with their husbands. Vatsiv. Now the Gemara says, Al Banai ki lo tova hashmua. Now the Gemara says, okay, but let's just read on the Psukim. Because Eli catches wind of what his sons are doing, and he gives them tochacha. And he says, don't, my sons, because I heard some things that are not good. So Amar Nachman Yitzchak Beniksiv. So he says, oh, no, no, he was just talking to his one son, meaning the pasuk is read by Nai, sons, but we can read as Bini. Vaksiv ma'avirim. Now the Gemara says that the pasuk reads ma'avirim. I'm Rav Huna Berit, Rav Yeshua ma'aviram ksiv. So really, no. In other words, it's written without a yud, and you could read as ma'aviram, meaning that that Pinchas himself didn't sin. That it's only one. So vaksiv Bini Belial mitoch sha'ayal ol Pinchas. Sorry. Vaksiv Bnei Belial. Now, the Torah describes how they are both people who were of low morals. So the Gemara says, so making full circle to what we discussed in the beginning of Shir today, because Pinchas had the ability to give Tochacha to Chafni and he didn't do so, so it's as if he was Chote. Okay, so again, our second round of not reading the incriminating Psukim Kipshuto, meaning they certainly did wrong, but not nearly to the severity as the psukim themselves read out. Okay, we'll just end on two points. One I'll leave as an open-ended question. The other one is a really interesting point. One is that if these personalities, we started with Reuben, we went to Bnei Eli. If in fact they didn't do what the pasuk suggested they did, so why does the pasuk write it in such harsh terms? So I've heard answers, I've heard responses to this question, and the question I feel still to be a really strong question, and the answers that are attempted, and there have been a number of answers that are attempted, but it's obviously something that needs an explanation. And the second issue, which is just really interesting, and you could see Tosfos, I'm sorry, you already could see the bottom Rashi discuss this, you could see Tosfos as well. Meaning that in the psukim, the simple reading of the psukim is that both sons were guilty of acting in very inappropriate ways. And what the Gemara says is that we could read the pasuk this way, meaning a kri and ksiv. And when the pasuk says banai, we could read it as bani. And when the pasuk said ma'avirim, we could read it as ma'aviram. So you can see the bottom Rashi. You can see Tosos, the different maskal ma'aviram, where there were variant texts of Tanakh. And Toso says, you see Toso say clearly, that our Gemara clearly has it that the word Ma'avirim, when it's written in the Tanakh, is written without a Yud. Meaning the way we see in our Gemara. But if you open up a Tanakh, Toso's right, if you open up a Tanakh, you will never see any Tanakh having it written without a Yud. And Tosos points out, it's not unprecedented. Meaning that there are sometimes discrepancies between the nusach of the Tanakh that we have, and the nusach of the Tanakh that was had by the Chachmei Hagemara, the Chachmei Bava. And if you want to see over here, what I would guess is the longest Rabbi Kiva Eger in all of Shas. So on this Tosfos, Rabbi Kiva Eger meticulously goes through all the times where there is a discrepancy between the Gemara's version of Tanakh versus the version that we have as Tanakh. So obviously, and it's obviously, it's a critical issue in terms of which one is the right Girsa, the one we have, the one the Chachmei Bavel had. And I mean, we're talking about letters. We're not talking about any kind of changes, wholesale changes. But still, there clearly is a discrepancy. And so obviously that makes for another really interesting discussion. Okay, let's just quickly recap. The first half of today's daf, we talked about the mitzvah of Tochacha. How important Tochacha is, a person's responsibility of giving Tochacha, and the consequences of not giving Tochacha, being in a position to give Tochacha and not giving Tochacha. So the Gemara treats that with tremendous severity. That was the first half of today's daf. Okay, that's a lot of Gemara that was really quickly summarized, but that's really the case. Our second big issue that we discussed today, the thesis of Rav Ami. Can a person die without having sinned? And the Gemara's conclusion is that although Rav Ami says that it cannot happen, meaning the only way a person dies is only if he sins, but the Gemara ends up disproving that thesis, and the Gemara says a person can die even if he has not sinned. And finally, our last part of today's daf is we started today with Reuven and Bnei Eli. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonason says in both circumstances that anyone who says that Shmuel sinned, anyone who says that Reuven sinned, So, Eino Elotoa, you are making a mistake. Don't read the Pesukim literally. And the Gemara taught us that this is not a cut and dry issue, and this is a matter of debate in terms of how to read the Pesukim. Literally, not literally. And the Gemara made the same point regarding B'nai Eli, how to read the Pesukim literally or not literally. And tomorrow we continue with this discussion. We'll start on the very bottom of the Amud.